If there's an individual, if it's you or if it's myself, if it's yourself or me, and I'm traveling or you're traveling on a motorway and you're driving the car, and very nice, smooth drive at that time, nice journey, and you're in a good mood, you're in a positive mood. It's a long journey that you're going on, and you're in the car, and according to your taste and liking, you've put a CD on in the car, and it's very calm and tranquil, smooth journey. Person's very good mood, positive. When it happens, isn't it? A person's on a journey, and you're focusing and listening to the CD or whatever's on, or what's my sheikh saying, the nasiha, or despite that, some naat or nasheed or shajara. And then suddenly you hear some sort of clanging noise or a knocking noise from the car. It was driving smoothly before that, but as you're driving, you hear the type of noise and the car making a noise. So what will you do? You'll be alert. You'll feel a little bit of a shock, say, and then you'll take the car towards the hard shoulder, to the side, and stop. This is what we'll do, isn't it? Or is it something else we'll do? I think this is what we'd probably do. And then, after stopping the car, parking it to the side, what's the reaction? Straight away, for example, we'll turn off the CD. And if we've got some understanding of a car, A, B, C, D, even if we don't know how a car functions, what's happening, even somebody like me will lift up the bonnet. Even though I don't know anything, or we don't know anything, what will we see under the lid of the bonnet? But even then, that's the reaction of an individual. He opens the bonnet, we're looking at the plugs or some wire. We know this is the water tank. And is there something that's disconnected, or the oil, is it leaking or something going wrong? So why do we do this? Why do we do this? And then we'll look at, for example, the tires, or something is hanging down, something loose. Reason being that it's natural habit of an individual. We want to inspect, why has the car stopped? Why did it make a clattering, clanging noise and then it stopped running? Power failure. Has the water leaked, or is something loose or something broken off? You won't just sit down and not do nothing, will you? You're going to have to do something. Then you will understand, because you'll say that, oh, maybe I don't have experience, I'm not a mechanic. Then what will we do? We'll try and starting the car, can't start it, or still there's a problem, the noise. And then what do we need to do? We need to inspect, and we need to root cause the problem, isn't it? When we root cause and diagnose the problem, then we can get to the solution. Now, we can't root cause the problem, so then we'll call the RAC or the AA, we'll phone them, ask for help, and then the AA technician or RAC, the breakdown recovery man, will come. He tries to start the car, he can't fix it. So what's he come and do? Will he pump up the tires? Will he tow the car away? No. First and foremost, he wants to also know what is the diagnosis of the problem. Diagnosis of the problem. Why did the car stop? Why did it lose power? So he will look for the reason, and then by chance he sees the clue. Or he sees the actual root cause, that this nut fell off. Small one from the engine. First he'll laugh a little bit. Oh, look, the car just stopped for this reason. And then he'll smile a little bit. He'll say, no worries, it's okay. We don't need to tow your car away. This is what happened. You say, oh, okay, that's good. So from his toolkit, he'll take out the wrench or the spanner, and he'll tighten the car up, the nut, and then the loose part. Then you start the car again. Then you put the CD on, smooth journey again, drinking the tea, and you get to your destination. And after a while, you'll reach to London, Glasgow, your destination. And then you'll tell this story to others. Oh, today I was enjoying the journey. And this first will be the story. You know, if you're a guest with somebody. Oh, today I was traveling. This happened to the car. It was a nut. It fell off this part. And if it fell off, and then he got another nut and he put it on and everything was fine. This isn't it. So this is the story. And the life, our journey of life is just like this car. The life of the mu'min, the Quran explains, is very smooth. It's a beautiful life. Man, woman, brother, sister. All our lives should be smooth, easy, satisfying, peaceful, comfortable, beautiful life we should have. And what a great life. And at that time, there's no issues when the Muslims, when the person's life is smooth and nice and tranquil and peaceful. Just like that car, it's a BMW driving smooth, but just like that car broke down and it stopped. And there was a reason for it breaking down. In the same way, a mu'min, his life is smooth and nice and traveling and progressing well. Then suddenly some bumps come on the line. Then the car has to stop. Then the journey stops. then some distress comes, some business problems arise, or some physical illness to the body arises, or a tragedy occurs, or from the children there are some problems coming from the children, from issues from the wife and the children, some problems have arisen. So it's just like the car, isn't it? Suddenly the jump comes, the bump comes, you have to park the car on the harsh shoulder. Just like the car of life, it stops or slows down and the smoothness of life reduces. Then one issue arises and he comes out of one, then you go to another problem, from another problem to another problem. So what should we do? What should we do with the car? What did we do with the car? On the motorway, what should we do with the car on the life? So we've forgotten, we root cause the problem, diagnose the problem. What's the issue that has caused the breakdown? That's the first step, but we don't do this. We need to look at the reason that the mu'min's life, for example, the BMW has a warranty, drives beautifully in the first few years. Why is it suddenly stopped? The reason was a nut had fallen off a part. That part became loose and it was making a clanging noise. So mu'min's life is beautiful, A1 first class in this world and the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated this. So why is this that we are then immersed in problems, distress, children disobedient, business flops? Why has this occurred? There's a reason for this. There must be a reason. There has to be a root cause. But we don't look towards the root cause. Then we start talking nonsense or doing nonsensical actions. For example, we follow our own desires and our thoughts that this is the solution. This is the reason. And now we have to pay attention to this. That we have the Qur'an, we have the solutions, we have the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. Let's ask the people, the pious people, or refer to the Qur'an, go to a tabib, a doctor, as-salam, I'm a mu'min, I'm a Muslim, and these are my conditions in my life. Why is it that I've got distress and problems, that this has happened in my life, my business, my wife, children, everything's going up and down. These stories occur in life, don't they? That if you go to somebody wrong for the solution, oh, he'll say, oh, there's magic upon you. Someone's cast a spell on you. Black magic, yellow magic, or there's a dangerous jinn that's been put inside you and he's attacking your home and your family. Or he'll say that your khala, your auntie's like this, and then you'll go and pester your auntie and she has no link with it. Or your mother-in-law, she's causing the problem. Your daughter, she's the issue. And you'll get the wrong answer. Just like, for example, some rogue mechanic comes to inspect your car. Oh, no, the water pump's failed. But the water pump's fine. And he'll diagnose it wrong. And he'll spend all day wasting your time. It was just a screw or a nut. But he couldn't diagnose it. Don't you understand what I'm saying? So what's the reason? The straight path. The straight path we're following on, and if we come off the straight path, then we need the good mechanic, the good technician. So when we have problems in life, don't worry, don't fear. We need to root cause. We've tried our best, just like we tried to find out what was wrong with the car. We couldn't succeed. We don't have experience. We call the mechanic, the AA, the RSC. Same way, if problems in life, go to such an individual, explain your events to him. Explain your issues. Good person, and a pious person, and say, I've got these issues with my business, my family, and then he'll give you a sketch of life that you should be following. Who is the Wali of Allah? And he will explain to you from the Quran that this is the reason for your issues. And the Quran tells us what is the reason. That when a problem arises, listen to this carefully, that in life, because when the journey of life, when the problems arise, and in life, it becomes spoilt or negative. If your family, your house has got problems, then nothing is nice. Your money won't be of benefit to you. None of your assets will be benefit to you. Because there are problems at home. So we need to look at what's the reason. And Allah Ta'ala tells us the reason. That when the mu'min's life, it should be beautiful and smooth and nice and reliable. And when the car has to be pulled to the hard shoulder, then understand that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with that person. Allah Ta'ala is displeased with that. That's the main reason. Allah is what? Allah is displeased. There's no other reason. No black magic, no yellow magic, no spell, nothing. Allah Ta'ala's displeasure, we have to accept. That is the causing the problems. That's it. Clear point. So whenever a problem occurs in life, don't look left and right, run up and down. Try to find out the reason straight away so that we can tighten that knot back on and come back onto the right path. And it's a clear point that Allah is displeased. And if Allah is displeased, then the journey of life, it starts to become a bumpy ride. And apart from problems, issues, calamities, distress, and we can't then live peacefully in the dunya or the akhirah. The dunya, it carries on with problems and issues, and then eventually the akhirah comes, and the akhirah is not a journey that you can just pass through. No, look at the shan, the status of mu'min. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, the mu'min, women and men, what maqams and levels they have, and how we waste our time and lives on because of our misactions, not good actions, due to us disobeying Allah, due to us refusing to accept what Allah Ta'ala is saying. I remember this hadith on this point. I think this is narrated by Ibn Hibban in the narration of Hibban, Yamsuku Qawmi. It's an ajib, unique hadith. Yamsuku Qawmi, Mil Ummati, Fa Akhiru Zaman, Qiradatan wa Khanzir. Qiradatan wa Khanzir. So, Rawaya Ibn Hibban in the collection of hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that Yamsuku, that their faces will be disfigured from my ummah, from my ummah, from my nation. Such a qawm, such a people, such a jama'ah will arise, will be there. From my ummah, Muslims, there will be such people, such a qawm, such a nation, such a jama'ah. Fi akhir zaman, close to the time of the last hour, which is upon us, you could say. And what will be their condition? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disfigure their faces, their appearances. In which way? قِرَدَةً وَخَنْزِيرٍ. And they will be like apes and swine, like monkeys and swine. And the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum were surprised that despite being Muslims, men and women, they'll have this condition befalling them. And they said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what will be the reason for this? And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the reason for this will be that their lives will be based on munkarat, on rejection and sinful actions, and their lives will be full of sins. And those things that Allah Ta'ala said were munkarat, that you need to refrain from. Stop doing these actions. Don't live like this. Don't wear the attire like this. Don't wear this libas. Don't have faces like this. Don't do these actions. Don't steal. Don't steal. Don't commit robbery. Don't eat haram. What is all this? This is disobedience, isn't it? This is disobedience. And when this hal will befall the qawm, when this condition, situation will befall the nation, despite that we will do ibadah, worship, even though we're praying, we're committing the sins. We're fasting, we're committing these sins. We're going on umrah upon umrah, we're doing these sins. Yes, we're giving sadaqah, we're doing these sins. We're doing khatam, we're doing these sins. Munkarat, disobedience to Allah. One act of disobedience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. One act of disobedience. Azab will be invited and it will come, most definitely. And the car of his life will break down. Because the mu'min and difficulties and problems are two opposite things. Remember this point. These are two opposites, extremes. The mu'min's life is such that from Allah there are tests that come. Yeah, tests come. And he enjoys the tests, the hardships. He enjoys and he succeeds due to the tests and challenges. He enjoys the life due to the tests that Allah gives. But problems, calamities are due to the sins, are due to our disobedience. One sin if a person does, a mu'min, one sin. Not that, oh, I pray salah, and in my home my wife prays, and my children. Do the children pray? No, the children don't pray. They'll pray one day, and we're happy that we're okay. And then this happened in our house, this happened in our family, these problems have arisen. So the reason for this is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that what a big punishment this is, the apes and the swine, the monkeys and the swine. They will look like this. Why? Due to the munkarat, because of our sins and our wrong actions. This is not a small thing that a person stays alive like this, in this form, in this way. That their faces physically won't look like that. The mufassirin, the commentators say, what is the meaning of this hadith? That what actually will occur is that both animals are animals that have no modesty. They have no shame. Look at the khanzir, the swine. They have no shame, no modesty. So the qawm about whom Rasulullah is speaking, that this nation will become such that will have no shame, no modesty. They will feel no shame sinning. Mother, daughter, sister, who's there? How to treat the sister? How to treat the father? How to treat the mother? How to sit with the mother? What should they be doing? Totally they will be, you can say, mentally naked. They'll have no shame, no modesty. Totally that will have evaporated and disappeared from that person's life. And has this generation come or not? We think. Has it come or not? Has it come? And they will not even realize that they're committing dirty actions. That when a person is immersed, this, like Rasulullah said, khanzir, the swine. How does the swine know when the swine does wrong actions? Doesn't know what he's doing, the pig. Doesn't know what he's doing. Rather, it will be surprised, that person. If you see that qawm, those people, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? They say, what are you saying? That you're mad, you're crazy. What's wrong with this action? What's bad with this? What sin is it that we're doing? This is nothing wrong what we're doing. They won't see that they committed sin. He won't see my daughter, what's he like? My son, what's he like? What's my mother-in-law like? What's my father-in-law? And an ajeeb mahal will be created within the family. And is this the Islamic environment that we're in now? Remember this. And such a situation of destruction, you can say, will have arisen in that environment. And what will happen then? Allah's adab will rain down. Allah's wrath and punishment. My friends, if this we are sitting in this day and age, in this time, with the issues around us, and our car of life is driving, and when the car has to be pulled to the hard shoulder, then we should understand straight away that from me, I have committed a disobedience to Allah. But we don't accept this point, do we? That for example, if we go to somebody, we say, oh, is it just me who's got problems? Why is everybody else enjoying? These people, they don't have iman, they're enjoying life, and we give dalils, and what should happen? Straight away, a man should accept that today I have done this wrong action. Today. How did this occur? I'm a dhakir, I pray salah, I remember Allah. How have I done this mistake? Most definitely I've committed a disobedience in my life. Seek that. Look for that nut that has fallen off the part of the car. Where is it fallen into the machine? Where is it rotating? And find that screw, that nut, so you can re-tighten that part and bring the car of life back onto the motorway and onto the straight path. Seek for that sin, that action. We are mu'min. We are Muslim, alhamdulillah. And the cure is there. Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, no problem, you have accepted me, you believe in me. And if you have fallen into the ditch of munkarat and sins, and then you have the regret and the remorse, and you're sad, and you can't see the solution anywhere in the world, all the doors are shut. Allah says that there's, and we say that there's no solution to the problems in my life. And it happens, there is no solution to the problems. If we have problems and distresses and worries, no way. We cannot recite a wazifa or a lesson, we can't pray any salah or recitation of the Quran to solve these problems. Wahid, there's only one cure for these problems, which has been prescribed by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And despite this, there's no solution. Only that nut will be fitted. Only that screw. And when that nut falls down, then when we get the right nut and the screw, we can retighten it. We'll have to find that right size nut, the right diameter of the hole, or the right length of the screw. Doesn't matter how expensive is the nut that you buy, but you need that same screw or the same nut that's fallen off to tighten that part back on the car. So when we commit sins and cause issues in our lives, we have distress and total disturbance, and mentally we're frustrated and we have problems, then there's only one cure. One cure. Hazrat Hassan Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, great wali of Allah who's passed away, and great sheikh, great pious elder. And he was once sitting, and a sahil came. Somebody who came to request him. He said, Hazrat, I'm extremely disturbed, I'm distressed. And Hazrat said, what is it? He said, Hazrat, I've got problems, my business has flopped, it's gone down, and I'm struggling financially, I've got financial problems. So this is what happens, isn't it? The car of life, it stops, it breaks down. So he's telling his Hazrat, he came for dua, because he went to the pious person for dua, and Allah Ta'ala accepts him. We have yakin in this. We also used to go to Hazrat, to my Shaykh, to ask for dua when we had issues. So Hazrat heard this, and he said, what is it? He said, I've got financial issues, problems, business has gone downhill. And he stopped this, and then he said, Hazrat, please tell me a wazifa, something I can recite. Then the next person came, and people come. He said, Hazrat, Shaykh, I'm very distressed, I've got problems. He said, this many years I've been married, and I don't have a son, I don't have a baby son. These are problems at home, innit? And people are married, and the children are playing, other people are playing, and he has shock and desire. He said, Hazrat, that I don't have the child, or I don't have the male child. Hazrat, give me a wazifa, please. Give me something I can recite. And then the third person came, the third individual came. He said, Hazrat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me children, but they're disobedient children. My daughter is disobedient, and this person is disobedient, my son's disobedient. Look, he's done this, or she's done this, and he told his story. He said, please, Hazrat, tell me a story. That, and then another man came. And he said, Hazrat, I'm very distressed and worried. My father, I had a farm, and it used to be nice, and it used to harvest nice, and no rain came, and no water, and all of my plants have died and withered away. Please tell me wazifa, so that Allah Ta'ala can give some rain, and I can get the nourishment into my field. So all the men came, and Hazrat gave them a wazifa. Hazrat gave them something to do. He told them the prescription. And what was the wazifa, the action he told them to implement? All of them had the same wazifa, the same prescription, the same solution, the same ta'weez was given to all of them. SubhanAllah. So there was a person sitting there, nearby and he said, Hazrat, I heard this all. What is the situation? All four men came with a unique story of each of theirs, each unique different problem. And Sheikh, Hazrat, I don't understand. But the wazifa you gave is one. The solution you gave the same to all of them. And Hazrat said, yes, my one wazifa, my one solution will solve all of their problems. It's a very solid and good solution. And it's so good that it will solve all of their problems. And if you want to ask anything else, ask. But I will have one wazifa I will prescribe to you for all of these issues. And inshallah. Inshallah, from this wazifa of mine, he said that first, the man who came, his business will flourish. Secondly, he will have a son or a child. Third, his children were disobedient, daughter or son. Inshallah, they will come back onto the right path. They will come back and be okay. They'll be fine. And the person whose farm, his plowing fields, they dried up in the drought, Allah Ta'ala will give rain and the water will come to nourish the plants. So all of them had the same wazifa. And what was the wazifa? What was the lesson? Astaghfar. Istighfar. Tawbah. Repentance, to ask Allah for forgiveness, true repentance and remorse. With this was wazifa, Hazrat. He said, I will not tell you, don't you read the Quran? That gives the solution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, what did Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam tell to his qawm? What was the wazifa? The Quran tells us this. Did Allah ta'ala not say that do tawbah, repent to me, ask for forgiveness for your sins, your car has stopped, your journey of life has stopped. It's got something that's obstructed it, and you have no other solution. You have one solution, that your car stopped because you disobeyed me, Allah Ta'ala says. You disobeyed me and Allah is displeased. And there's only one cure, very easy. Doesn't matter how many sins you've committed, even if they stack up to the skies and the heavens. But there's one solution, do tawbah, repent to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Ask for true, sincere repentance and do tawbah. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Say, Allah, all of those actions that I have disobeyed you in my life, Allah, I'm doing tawbah from my munkarat, my sinful life, and the wrong actions, and the sins are forgiven. Allah, I will recognize all of the sins and the evil actions in my life. I will exterminate them and eliminate them, and I accept Allah, and I will do good things in my life. Definitely, Allah, I committed sins. You did tell me to stop this action. You told me to stop having this appearance. You told me to stop saying these bad words. You stopped me from having this bad character, and definitely I shouldn't be like this in my home. In our homes we shouldn't have had these things or these actions or these situations. Then he's distressed, and then we stand and we ask Allah for forgiveness. Then what does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran? Allah Ta'ala told Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, and to tell his qawm that, oh my qawm, if you do tawbah to Allah, you repent, look at your situation now. But if you do tawbah from your sins and your rejection, then Allah Ta'ala has stated in the Quran that from the heavens I will rain down the mercies and the blessings to you. Your children, your offspring, and your mal, your wealth will have barakah and blessings. So are these promises not being fulfilled by Allah? In your children, in your mal, in your business, there'll be barakah. And Allah Ta'ala says that your fields that have dried up, I will allow rivers to flow through them, across them, to nourish them. Subhanallah. This is tawbah, repentance. The man, the servant, the believer. When your car of life stops or breaks down or a defect arises, there's no solution apart from tawbah ilallah. Tawbah ilallah. Repent to Allah. This is the total cure. Allah Ta'ala has given us the cure for all problems in life. Pay attention to Allah. Do tawbah, repent to Allah. These were the sins that, or are the sins that in my life, I need to eliminate them. And if the munkarat, like I explained to you from the hadith that I read to you, that if we live our life with the munkarat in parallel, then the Quran and the hadith are true. And then we will see the effect in our lives. We will see the effect in our lives. Look, Islam was not sent to mankind for burden. Islam, the style of Islam is da'wah. I'm speaking to you, I'm giving da'wah. I'm inviting. I'm not saying, whoever does this sin, oh, let's burn his house down, or break his leg, or throw a bomb in his masjid, or in his place of worship, or kill him. No, Islam doesn't teach this. Islam invites people to good. That look, if you got problems, then rectify your life, improve your life. And it's told that if you do this, then you will get the life, you will get the life in this dunya and the akhirah, and you'll get a good life. And if we leave this in, if we understand this message, like I'm speaking to you, and a person who's got an honest heart to understand the Quran and the hadith, straight away, the men and the women who are listening, whoever's listening now, straight away, if we do ghidiyah and feel remorse and regret and do tawbah on our condition, then before the morning, Allah Ta'ala promises, I will solve your problems. Promise of Allah. Promise. Because Allah is inviting. As the Quran said, the person who sins, kill him or beat him or this. No, the people who say that, that's their own opinion and interpretation of Islam. Oh, these people are sinning. Oh, hang them or kill them. They're doing non-Islamic actions. She's not doing this. He's not doing that. Is this not happening in the world today? Are people throw bombs in these people's place of worship? No, Islam has said, no, this is wrong. Islam gives tabligh. There's a framework and a method of dawah. Did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever do this? That when he gave dawah, invited people, and if they didn't accept, did he say kill them or leave them? No, leave them to their own self. Leave him in his own situation. If he doesn't understand or if she doesn't understand, then they're unfortunate people, and their kismah, their destiny they've got bad luck. They don't understand Allah and Rasulullah, and in this world there'll be wretched life, in the hereafter will be wretched life, and definitely they will have the life of the apes and the swines. The person who doesn't understand the nasiha, the advice of Allah, and we tell him, we explain that, do this, I'm giving you dawah. Allah says, I'm not forcing you. Islam doesn't force. If you're intellectual or you've got understanding, you've got a brain, whether you believe in Islam or you don't, Islam advice to all of us, gives the kitab. And if a person says, I don't believe in Allah, or I don't want to follow Allah, or don't want to obey Allah, I don't accept the Quran or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what's our job after that? They give dawah to that person, remind him nicely, and after that don't say, oh, do this, do that, and shoot them if they don't accept. No, Islam doesn't teach this method. No. So remember this point that I'm saying, that these people are incorrectly exploiting Islam. People give dawah, invite to Islam. Islam says don't hit people after that. Explain nicely that this is the way of life. Islam is a complete way of life. A total framework and sketch of how to live the life. That those orders and advices of Allah, if Allah says this is bad, then it's bad. Goodness can never come into it. And if we believe, and our belief has increased, that this is definitely wrong, leave it. And Allah Ta'ala will give us a favor. He will give us a favor and mercy that stop this. Don't do this action. It's bad for you. And we say, where's it written? How can this be haram? How can this be unlawful? I don't know this. That's too strict. Then who will earn the loss in a life? We will live the life like the apes, the monkeys and the swine. And asal, this hadith is actually pointing towards the grave. The grave. That when a person will be lowered and buried in the grave, then he will get the form, the appearance of the monkey, the ape and the swine. The pig. There are two dreams I will communicate with you. Two dreams. One, and these are both true dreams, to explain the consequences of not shunning the sins. Islam gives dawah, invites, and the person who accepts the invitation will enjoy the life beautifully. And the person who leaves the invitation of Islam, Islam doesn't say kill him or hit him, leave him to his own being, and he will then reach to his adab. You don't have to hit that person. He's getting adab. That when a muballigh gives invitation, dawah, explains Quran and hadith, and after that, summum bukman umyum fahum la yarjaun, then we're not told that hit that person, beat that person, or astaghfirullah, kill that person. No, leave that person to his own being, and in the world and thereafter, nothing can solve that person's problems then, because he's a mu'min and he's not taken the solution of tawbah. So he will not get sukoon, peace from anywhere. Be quiet and take one cure. That Allah Ta'ala says, tubu ila Allah, bow and humble yourself in Allah, in front of Allah, and say, Allah, forgive me. And even if we commit one sin, it will make the car of life break down. And this is Allah's big karam and mercy, that Allah Ta'ala, if we commit the sin, and Allah makes our car break down. If after me sinning, Allah Ta'ala doesn't make me realize that I'm sinning, then I will carry on sinning for the rest of my life, and then I'll get the punishment in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala is saying here, you are wrong, and your car's got a jerk and a sudden jolt. If the car didn't jerk, and you went and hit a door, dang, then, for example, and Allah Ta'ala says that when your car of life, you're sinning, making mistakes, your car will break down. Stop, think, resolve, do tawbah. So Allah gives the hint that, look, I'm giving you problems in your life now. Distress is coming, this problem, that problem. Straight away understand that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with me, and straight away stop and seek the disobedient action, and then carry on with the car after that when your life is smooth again. And remember this point, that disobedience to Allah, the punishment for disobedience, it's not necessary that it will be given straight away. It could come after 10 years. Your children may give you that problem. You will have forgotten that sin, that disobedience. Allah Ta'ala says, I don't forget the sins you committed. My angels have not forgotten. You disobeyed me, and here's the punishment. You didn't do tawbah. Here today, see, I'm giving you the punishment for not doing tawbah. I'm reminding you. So this is a dangerous thing, to sin, to disobey Allah, the munkarat, the evil actions, and to accept. When Allah gives you the problems in life, whichever way, from whichever angle, we need to understand and accept that I've committed a sin. And those punishments come. In the grave they come. There were two friends in Saudi Arabia. They were good friends. One lived in Jeddah, one lived in Riyadh. Now, they had a good friendship. One was an Islamic practicing, pious individual. He lived a good life, good person, honest. And the other friend, he would have both things in life. He would pray Salah and commit sins, and do this and that. So the brother from Riyadh, the friend, his family forced him or said, or maybe he was a little bit empty himself, hollow, and then he brought the kharafat into his home. He invited into his home the means to commit the sin, and his friend said to him, don't bring this into the home, this will make you do sins. He said, no, I'm forced to do this, I'm getting pressure from the family. And his friend told him, the friend from Jeddah, don't do this. So the friend in Riyadh, he brought that item home that allows people to do the sins. And after some days, what happened is that friend in Riyadh, he passed away. The friend passed away. So the other brother, the friend, he saw his friend in the dream. And in the dream he saw that my friend, he's getting extreme punishment in the grave. How many sins did he commit? One. He would have done Hajj. Obviously he lived in Saudi Arabia. He would have prayed Salah. He used to go to Medina. I'm telling you this, that with the sins, don't think that we will be saved. There's only one cure for the sins. And what is that? Tawbah ila Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Straightforward. Nothing else. Nothing else. Repent from the sins. Shun the sins. So he used to think, we used to think and speak, and I told him that don't do this action, and then I told him and he didn't. Then the second day, same sin. Oh, for the sake of Allah, my brother, my friend, I'm being punished in the grave. I didn't listen to you, what you said to me, and I did an extreme mistake. Bad mistake. Go to my family and go and tell my family straight away that take this thing out of the house. So he thought, this is just some thought or some bad thought. Where will I go? How can I go from Jeddah to Riyadh to my friend's house and tell them he's passed away? Then the third night, same dream. Friend is in distress in the dream. He saw in the dream when his friend came and he said, I'm punished, I'm getting punishment in the grave, please help me. So after the 3 days, the same dream he saw, he said, I'll have to go to my friend's house, let me go. And he was going there a little bit afraid, what will his family say, what will be their sort of mindset, character. Alhamdulillah, they were good people. And he explained to them, he said, look, I've seen in the dream my friend, 3 nights, let me tell you this dream and the rest is your choice. But please save him. They said, tell us, what is it? What is it that's happened? What's happened? He said that, they said, it's our fault. Anyway, they turfed out that item from the house and they turned the sin out of the house. When he came back, he said, when I reached to Jeddah, right to Jeddah, next night, the fourth night, I saw the dream again. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows. And he saw in the dream that his friend is very happy, light on his face, and he's enjoying himself. He's saying, oh Allah, shukr Allah, I'm grateful to Allah that you saved me from the fire of Jahannam. How much shall I be grateful to you? I'm so happy and grateful to you that you have given me this assistance. May Allah Ta'ala forgive you. So how Allah Ta'ala shows the solution, that every sin, the effect of the sin will come in the life and in the hereafter. And in the hereafter, I'll tell you another dream, another true event. There are many events, and I'm just giving you some hints and some nasiha. There was a prime minister that passed away. Ghulam Muhammad was his name, the prime minister of Pakistan. And I will tell you, because this event comes from him. And he gave a wasiyat, because at that time he was Wazir-e-Ala. I think he was a governor at that time. This is quite a long time ago when Pakistan was made. Ghulam Muhammad was his name. And he said that when I pass away, that bury me in Medina. This was his, you could say, desire. Everyone has a desire. Just like we have this misconception, we don't do tawbah, we don't do good actions, and we come off track and we don't follow our destination object, and we say, oh, bury me there. So he gave wasiyat in his will. He said, I want to be buried in Medina. So he passed away. And the people, his chamche, you can say his sidekicks, who are around him, and when he left his wasiyat, they said, oh, we need to implement his desire. They had already buried him in the grave, and then they realized he wanted to be buried in Medina. So they asked the mulanas, the scholars, that we buried him here, but we've received his will that he wants to be buried somewhere else. What shall we do? And they said, if this is his desire, then you can exhume him, take him out from the grave, because the deceased has requested this. So try it. Go, we give you ijazah. You can go and see if they give you ijazah, go and bury him in Medina. It's not impermissible. It's permissible. People do this, and this body is in the grave. You can bury him where he wants to be buried, if it's possible. So they said, okay, let's dig up the grave. It was fresh, and he was just buried. So when they dug up the grave, and they couldn't see his corpse, his body, rather there was a massive serpent in his grave, massive serpent like python. Then they quickly filled in the grave. They said, oh, what's this? After 2 days they went back, they thought, let's dig up the grave again. And when they dug and took the soil out, the same python serpents there. And there were police officers with them. They said, oh, shoot this serpent. They're shooting the serpent and there's no effect. It's alive. It's staying alive and it's moving around. And it's moving around in the grave. Around the grave. And same way. Then they filled the grave again. Then after the third day, they opened the grave again. Same serpent python. And then the python serpent is trying to jump out, trying to bite. And they quickly closed it up. See that? They said, oh no, he's reached to Medina, all right. He's reached to Medina. So this is the reality of life, my brothers. Every man says, I'm Aashiq Rasool. Every man says, I've reached to the heights of my Amal. They're so good. Subhanallah. My brothers, we have come here to live the life. We should be a pure good life. Remember this. That every second of a mu'min's life should be according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen and his orders. And we should obey Allah ta'ala's orders every second of our lives. The mu'min's life. It's not difficult. Very easy. Allah ta'ala has given such a system, not one. There are millions and millions and millions of people who are living their life according to the obedience of Allah. It's not difficult. Many millions and millions of people with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah, women and men. But they have crushed their desires, recognized their nafs. Allah ta'ala has given the principles of Islam, the rules, and they're living their lives according to this. Those people, just like those people when they heard these words, and when the malfuzat, when they reach to those people in nasiha and advice, because they're hitting them, beating them, but those hearts are soft, they are mu'mins, they read the kalima, their hearts will have been crying, how did we commit this sin? And today, this night, whoever listens to this, he will seek his sins, and he will shun his sins and repent to Allah, because we have to die. Doesn't matter how much I worship. He said, please bury me in Medina. He must be pious. He said, please bury me into Medina. In Jannatul Ma'ala, bury me in Jannatul Ma'ala in Makkah. Yeah, and is this possible when a person's rejecting? Otherwise, there are so many people who don't even think about Madinatul Munawwara. They don't even think about Medina. And everyone, who doesn't want to be buried there? And how can we think that and imagine that we will go there? In Ramadan, he passed away from his eyes. He was living in Bolton. And at Fajr time in Medina, his Salatul Janazah was being prayed. Subhanallah. And he was buried nicely and his children are wandering around here. So he passed away. So Allah Ta'ala, when he selects and he prefers, this is Allah Ta'ala's selection. This is not some minor thing. So we need to bring ourselves onto the level, the right level, because we have a life. Allah has given us a purpose. I'm telling myself this. I'm educating myself that let's come out of this artificial, fake and life of deception where shaitan and our base desires divert us. Divert us. Oh, he's good. Oh, you're praying salah. No, look more to what sins am I committing? Because one sin, don't consider it insignificant. Don't think of it as nothing. It will cause to my destruction. It will lead to my destruction. And Allah Ta'ala says that your clock is ticking. And your car, if it breaks down, your car of life, then straight to understand, Allah, I'm grateful to you. And sit down all night and seek and list out your sins and ask for Allah Ta'ala for tawbah. Your life will become improved and your qabr will be improved. So the biggest sin when a person commits, the biggest sinful person, the worst sinner, whether he's an alcoholic or he's doing zina, he's in a bad situation. And when you've seen his grave, I've seen myself, a person in my life, I saw such a mode, such a death. He was, during his life, an alcoholic. Alcohol, he used to wander around drinking, doing bad actions, drinking with a bottle in his hand. He used to commit other things against people. But when he died, it was a beautiful death. When he was dying, then he called my younger brother. Subhanallah. And he lied down in that area. And everyone said he was a fajir, he's sinful. But when he must have done tawbah, Allah knows best. And what did he say? That please call that person a pious child. And who did he call? He didn't call anybody else in that area. And he called that innocent young boy, my younger brother. And he said, call him. And he came. And he said, just like you used to recite Surah Yasin when I used to wander around in the streets, recite Surah Yasin to me in the same way. Same way. And Surah Yasin was read, recited three times, and then he recited the Shahada Kalima, Ashhadu an la ilaha. Then he raised his finger up to the sky, and then he passed away. Allah, imagine when he did Tawbah, and how he passed away, and he had a massive janazah prayer. So, there are people hidden from the view. Allah Ta'ala does say, do Tawbah in front of everyone. Allah says, just understand where the car of life starts to break down, then understand Allah Ta'ala is displeased with us. Allah is not happy with us. And with those people who we cannot warn, we warn and they don't accept, Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanallah, the people like Nimrud and Fir'aun, Allah didn't even give them a chance because they were so severe in their sins. But we people, when even we sneeze a little bit, seek the root cause, diagnose that. Have I sinned? Why is my car of life breaking down? Why have I got problems? And understand and identify the sins and shun them and take them out of the life. Isn't this easy? So easy to understand. But we go towards other solutions. Oh, I went to Umrah. I went to Hajj. Nothing. Hajj and Umrah. You're standing in Tawaf. You're standing in front of the Rawda Mubarak, and there it's clanging and cluttering. There you've got a good opportunity. Ya Rasulullah, Allah has said in the Quran that go to my Rasul and ask for forgiveness, and he will ask Allah for your forgiveness. And we go and say, Allah, give me a son, give me a ulad, give me this, and we explain our masail. No, we've forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there as well. We think we're pious and we just ask Allah for what we want. And we ask for other things, business and transactions and profit, my daughter, son. We've forgotten why we're there. Allah gives a great opportunity. We should hold on to the jali, the fence, the holy fence, and say, Allah, I've come. You said to your Habib in the Quran, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that come and ask for forgiveness from my Mahbub. And my Mahbub, Rasulullah SAW, will ask for your forgiveness. On your behalf, he will ask for your forgiveness. But we still wander around like animals and come back from Umrah and Hajj like crazy people, foolish people. Are we not going to die? So if I stay as a sinner, then in my life, the khanazir and qiradatan, the monkeys and the immodesty and no shame and no recognition of sin, and there will be no veil of the Islamic principles in front of me. I won't know how to live my life at home or outside, how to treat humanity. Am I eating haram or halal? Why? Because Rasulullah, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when you sin, then the first effect is that you become like khanazir and like the qiradatan. And it's due to the actions, not physically, but spiritually, and then into the grave. Allah's kalam is haq. Rasulullah's kalam is haq. Their words are haq, my friends. So this is a very, you could say, firm point that we made today, but very beneficial. Very easy solution Allah Ta'ala has prescribed. That there are millions of people who are following the good life, practicing good things, who are living the life of obedience. And it's very easy. And I'll tell you the tariqah, very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a life and a lifestyle. And if we want to get to that point that we are living our life in accordance to Allah Ta'ala's rules and orders, then we need something, a precondition. If that precondition comes into our life, then we will obey the principles of Islam on our own accord without being reminded. So we need to bring that formula into our lives. We have the formula. We have the solution. So to obey Allah, to live a life of obedience, to embrace all Allah's orders with happiness, and to shun with hatred the sins that Allah Ta'ala said are sin. And should this not be the life of the Muslim, of the mu'min? Isn't it? Isn't it, brothers? That if we look at the life of a Muslim, the title of his life is what? That when we say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, when we recite this, then the title of the Muslim, his life banner becomes what? That whatever Allah and his Rasul have ordered, I will happily implement. No, oh, pray in the morning, oh, it's too hard, and then we're going to pray complaining. No, I should be happy that I'm going to pray Fajr in the morning. The mu'min's life. And whatever Allah and his Rasul have told us to refrain from, we should hate those actions just like we hate the stool and the urine. And we say, no, where is this written? Tell me the proof. Why do I have to leave this? We should hate the sins just like the urine and the stool. Just like the urine and whatever we pass out, the waste. So there's a formula, and if we follow this formula, then we will have a happy life. And what is the cure? Bring that cure and that solution into our lives. Alhamdulillah, with the ease, we will start to practice the actions of Islam without being reminded. And I will tell you the system. There are millions of people who have followed this formula and have passed their life successfully. So what do we need for this? What do we need? Do you know the solution? You don't know? What is the solution? So we live our life in obedience. Allah's love. We need to have the love of Allah. If we love somebody, you'll get this effect. That the person that you love, the person says, no, no, I don't want this. You say, okay, no problem. That's fine. I accept. And if somebody doesn't like something and you like it, he says, no, no, I don't want this. I don't want to do this. Say, no, I won't do this. No problem. I agree with you. Automatically, a person reacts to the desires of the beloved. Yeah, let's take a child. If you love your child, a small kid, baby, a child will ask you for everything and we listen. Yes, the government won't get from us, but the child will get from us, isn't it? The government won't obtain what it should obtain, but we give to the child. When we go home, oh dad, I want an ice cream. You go home from dhikr, the wife says, no, stop it, don't ask. And the child says, no daddy, I want an ice cream, please, I'm your child. If Aisha, Fatima, your child, and see how you will react and accept the desire. Even you're sleepy, you will take the child in the car and you'll kiss the child and embrace the child and you'll give the ice cream that the child is asking for. What is this? The reflection of the love. What is it? Say it loudly, love. So let's bring this love of Allah into our hearts. Subhanallah. This love, if it comes into our heart, the love of Allah, we don't have the love of Allah in our hearts. We don't have Allah's love in our hearts. Allah Ta'ala's khawf, Allah Ta'ala says that don't do action due to khawf and fear. Islam does not teach action and practice due to fear. Islam teaches us to practice Islam due to love of Allah. Allah says, if you want me to be strict with you or to beat you, forget these masjids. Maybe we'll have 10,000 masjids around us filled up with the musallis. Allah is Kareem, He can create that reaction. But Allah Ta'ala says that the system of life is being driven through love. Love is the driver of the life. Allah says that look at my rahm, look at my mercy, look at my love. Oh, foolish people, you don't understand. You're trying to go towards the strict route. that can you persevere through my strictness? Allah says, I'm not strict with you. My wrath has not come yet. So Allah says, your weak point is that bring my love into your heart. When you have my love in your heart, Allah says, then what does the child say? If I say, wake up 4 a.m, Allah says, wake up 4 a.m, we'll just wake up at 4 a.m. The child says, give me ice cream, dad. Allah says, get up 4 a.m, do wudu, alhamdulillah, you will not feel sleepy. The woman, she wrote a letter. She said, I cannot sleep. She said, the sister, I cannot sleep. I sleep at 10 p.m. with hardship. I don't want to go to sleep. And I look at the clock. When will 3 a.m. come? When will 3 a.m. come so I can get up? And I get up in that form. And she's very happy when she gets up. She says, I do dhikr of Allah and I remember Allah, etc. And she says, I'm so happy. Why? Because what has she got in her heart? What has she got? Say it loudly. The love of Allah. Are you scared to get the love of Allah? The name of Allah? So what is it she's got? The love of Allah. So this, when our eyes don't wake up, I'm lazy, I can't get up, I'm going towards haram, haram is nice for me, I'm enjoying life, counting the notes. Every time I can see the queen on the note, I keep seeing her in her pocket, she's in my pocket, and I keep on flicking the notes. And what's the style of the note today? I look at the queen on the note and I'm happy, and I see that in my dreams, the notes. This is a 50 now, 20 note, 10 note, here's the new 5 pound, oh look at this, and we're stroking the note. Subhanallah. So this is the love we have of the dunya. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah's love, a person, should he ever be reminded? Do we have to remind each other? I've seen this, alhamdulillah, that if the eyes don't open at the time of the Tahajjud, the person who has the love, then the angels come and wake him up. They call out to him. I swear by Allah, they call out to him, get up, oh person. He says, who's called me? Who's called me? And he looks all the way around, four corners, and he can't see anyone. Then he starts to do his ibadah, and the angels disappear. So this is insan. Sometimes he's a bit lazy, or he gets unwell, or he's lying down. Then the angels come to wake him up. So what is this? The love of Allah. And we've got haram, unlawful actions, we're leaving everything, salah, we're leaving. What is this? This is not muhabbat. This is not love. Nothing. Nothing. And then there'll be punishment. So, as I was saying, that to have the Allah Ta'ala's obedience in our lives every second and walk of life, then what do we need? Say loudly, love, muhabbat. Now, how will love come into our lives? Love. Aha. So I'm taking you step by step towards the understanding, isn't it? I'm explaining to, can we get love from the shopping center? Or we'll go to Yaqub Bhai shop. Oh, give me the screw in the nut, please. He'll say, hey, you need a screw to be tightened into your brain. You don't need the muhabbat screw. Hey, I sell bulbs and fuses, electrical items, isn't it? He'll say this, won't he? He'll say, I can't give you the love. So where will we buy love from? You can get it from the shop, yes. You will get the love of Allah from a shop. But whose shop? The friend of Allah, his shop. The wali of Allah, his shop. He sells the love from the shop. Not this, me saying this, the akabirin, the pious predecessors of this. So not Yaqub Shah's shop, not Yaqub Bhai's shop, of Sufi Sahab shop, you'll get it. And inshallah, the Sufi will give this to you. And he'll give you the screw and the nut, and he'll give you something to tighten it with. And this is how you get the love from the friend of Allah's shop. The shop runs, and the other shop runs as well. Not this whole life that this shop runs with the fadl of Allah. My shop ran in the same way. The business was running nicely, and the work of the deen was happening at the same time. So where do we get Allah Ta'ala's love from? From the shop, from the pious person, from the wali. But the customer should be honest and sincere as well. He should be genuine customer. And he should go to the wali of Allah, I want the love of Allah. And a second won't even pass, and he'll give you such a framework and method that Allah's love will come into your heart. So when the person comes away from there, then he will wake up first, he will come to Fajr first, he will come to Isha, he'll pray all the salas. His lifestyle will be better. Are you not praying? Are you not praying? Have you not got the solution? Did you used to pray before? Subhanallah. Look at this. So what happens? What's the result? There is a little bit of a lacking in the love. We still do the sins and we need a lot of love. Then the injection's given. First, the stage comes where the person makes the connection with the wali of Allah. Soon as the person sees the wali of Allah, then the love of Allah goes into the heart. And subhanallah, this is not from today. This is from the life of the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, the Sahaba. Was there any greater generation and people than them? Was there anyone with greater iman than them? Was there anyone with greater practice than them? Why? How did they become noble companions of radiyallahu anhum? Many companions, we can talk about that there are people today who read more Quran and pray more Salah than those Sahaba. And they've read more Hadith than them. They didn't have Bukhari or the other collections of Hadith. There wasn't Muwatta Imam Malik at that time. So how did they become Sahaba, the greatest? But can we show one amal that of ours is better than theirs? No. Such companions passed away who didn't even pray Salah. Didn't do anything. They didn't recite one Salah. But there was one reason that they became the companions. What was that? That they saw the blessed face of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam whilst they had iman in their heart. And whoever saw the blessed face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he became the Sahabi, and who didn't see Rasulullah, he could not become a Sahabi. And this was a law, principle till Qiyamah. Law that connection and company of a pious person is the greatest asset. The company of the Wali of Allah is the best thing. If you don't have the company of the Wali of Allah, then you will not succeed in getting love of Allah in your heart. I'm not saying this, it's the statement of our pious predecessors. That if I don't have the company, if I have the company of a Wali of Allah and I sit in his company with one niyyah, with intention, then no other ibadah can give us success compared to the 1 second sat in the company of the Wali of Allah. He will diagnose our faults. He will tell us the nut or the screw that's loose, and he will tighten it. And then once we've reached and arrived to the Wali of Allah and made the connection, then half of our job has been fulfilled. And then Allah Ta'ala injects us. Allah Ta'ala's Wali injects that person with the dhikr of Allah, teaches the dhikr of Allah, and that's it. Then wherever you're looking, whenever you look towards a sin, or you're thinking about disobeying, or you're not obeying Allah, both things we have to see. That am I obeying Allah? It's reducing my life, and I'm going more towards a sin, then straight away pick up the tasbih. Allah, 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 Allah. Start doing the dhikr of Allah. And this will increase your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. And as soon as you start to do the dhikr of Allah, and the speciality of dhikr, فَاذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Allah says, you remember me, I will remember you, and your goodness will come into your life. Allah says, recite my name as much as you can, and I will instill my love into your heart, and then you will have a beautiful life. And if you see the sin is not coming out of your life, then do dhikr kathiran kathira to 1,000 more. I need to do 100,000, then do it. I need to leave the sins. Because sometimes shaitan, he clings onto that. You know, you see there's a pasu, there's an insect in our countries, you know, the buffaloes and the cows, the pisu, it sticks, adheres to the skin of that animal, and then you have to burn it off from the surface of the animal. We don't know this, we haven't seen this, but we used to do this back home. The pisu, when he clings to that animal, and then you have to burn it off with the flame, with the heat, otherwise it doesn't come off. And shaitan is like the pisu. Shaitan sticks to the heart, and only by the dhikr of Allah does the shaitan melt and disappear, otherwise it doesn't move, it doesn't leave. So this is the solution. This is the solution. To leave the sins, to shun the sins, we need love. And to increase the love of Allah in the heart, we need the dhikr of Allah. And to get dhikr of Allah, we need the person of dhikr, the wali of Allah. So you understand all the stages now, the flow? Do you understand the process flow? And has everything come into your pocket now? And if you implement this, you'll be successful beyond successful. And it cannot be that the person who takes this path, if a person goes to wali Allah, a friend of Allah, then dhikr, and the person does dhikr, how can it be Allah Ta'ala's love won't come to the heart? And when the love of Allah will come to the heart, then he will never disobey, never disobey. And he will have khawf, fear. He will do tawbah from his sins, and then he'll do dhikr of Allah. Then Allah's love will come into the heart. And every second the love of Allah will stop the person that don't do this. It will remind him. Don't do this. It will remind him. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. And when we will start doing, Allah Ta'ala's love will force us that don't do the good deeds. So he'll force us to do good deeds, encourage us, and take us away from the bad deeds. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and all of us that this life Allah Ta'ala has given to us, a few moments, few hours, few years, maybe don't waste this life, my friends. I plead, I put my hands together and plead that take this line and do dhikr of Allah kathir and kathira. Bring Allah's love into that, otherwise one sin. I've told you the dream, one dream, two dreams, and many dreams I could tell you, but then you won't be able to sleep. Such dreams I could tell you. You won't sleep, I'll tell you the truth. The sisters who are listening, they won't be able to sleep. Such severe dreams about the consequences of sins that Allah Ta'ala has shown in the graves. And I will tell you, when we are awake proper, I just told you one today. I will tell you about those who are awake. I told you about that minister, and he used to do this sin. I'll tell you about others, and they had sins on their bodies, and when they were buried, and what was their hashar, what was their hereafter. So don't think life's a deception, or sin is a deception. There's a cure. So whenever the car's breaking down, stopping, speed's reducing, stop it on the hard shoulder. Diagnose the reason why have I got problems in life, then do istighfar to Allah, do tawbah for the sins, and bring the life back on track. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.